Greetings in Christ's name this morning and a welcome to each one. It's a blessing to be gathered together this morning and to praise the name of our Heavenly Father. That song spoke to me. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Are we rejoicing in the fact this morning that His blood has cleansed away our sins? Praise God. And it's a special service this morning to see 9 young people that have chosen to follow the Lord. And they're rejoicing in what Christ has done for them. This morning you're taking a very important step in your Christian life. A step in obedience to God. A step that you can look back to in years from now and say, today I've made a commitment, a public statement that Christ has redeemed me and that I will live for Him. And what a blessing, what a blessing. And you can look back to this day and be encouraged and strengthened and renewed in your walk with God. It's a blessing to see young people in the church that have a desire to follow the Lord. And I guess it's a special joy for us to see one of our own children want to walk in the ways of God. You have a tremendous potential to serve in the kingdom of God. And God wants you to be faithful to Him and to serve Him. He needs you in His work. You have a great opportunity to be a light in the dark world that we're living in. This world so desperately needs young people that are committed to Him, that want to serve Him. But now more than ever, you will face battles. And, you know, we like to think, We need to think of the crown that is awaiting for us, but we're not home yet. And there are battles to face, and probably more now than ever, more than before, you will face those battles between the kingdom of the world and the kingdom of heaven. The devil also knows you have great potential in the work of his kingdom, and he will try to use you in that. And so there's a battle between right and wrong, good and evil. And I'm not here to discourage anyone. It's a message of encouragement that there is joy in living the Christian life. There is hope. There is the possibility of living a victorious life. But each of us needs to be on guard. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, it says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." He comes in many different ways, the devil does. Matthew 7, verse 15 says, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." The devil uses many different forms, many different tactics to try to trip all of us up, all of God's children. He comes as a roaring lion in an intimidating way. And for you young people, he will try that method. He might try peer pressure. Everyone else is doing it. Why can't I? That old age-old question. He might come as someone in sheep's clothing, like he came to Eve, and say, "Yea, hath God said," to try to put those little questions in your mind. Does God's word really mean what it says? He'll try many different ways to trip us up, to destroy, to hinder the work of God. That is his ultimate goal, The devil's ultimate purpose is to destroy the kingdom of God. And he's not out to have what's best for your lives. He's out to destroy you. Even though the world likes to make it look like they have something to offer. But ultimately it leads to destruction. And it's so sad when we see young people that have made commitments that you will be making today. And to see them years later leave those commitments and follow the devil, follow the works of darkness, following a path that leads to eternal death rather than to eternal life. And this morning's message maybe isn't as much about baptism as it is a message of encouragement for especially you young people here this morning, but for all of us. It's a message for all of us to live a path of holiness, to lead a path of holiness, an encouragement to faithfully serve God. You are committed to God here this morning, and we rejoice in that. And just your desire to be baptized is a blessing. But life goes on if the Lord tarries. And we're not home yet. And there will be battles to face. There will be trials along the way. And it's easy to become discouraged at times. Sometimes the devil has a way of coming, making inroads into our lives, and we become discouraged. But this morning, I would like to encourage each one of you this morning to a path of holiness, that we can be faithful to God. There have been many that have gone before us that have been faithful. In our Sunday school lesson, we were talking, studying in Hebrews. And there's many in the book of Hebrews that were faithful to God. They suffered difficulties in life, but they were faithful. Those are a cloud of witnesses for us. And even for us, generations past, there are those that have been faithful. Our parents, grandparents, and the early Anabaptists, and generations since then. There have been those that have been faithful that have left us what we have today, and we take courage in that. There are many promises in the Word of God about God wanting to help us if only we will listen to Him. He wants to help each one of you personally in your walk with Him. He has a keen interest in your lives, in all of our lives, of what happens. And He desires more than anyone to see us prosper spiritually and that we make it home to be with Him. For a text this morning, turn with me to Isaiah chapter 30. My text verse and the title of the message are taken from verse 20 and 21. And I'll read those two verses, then we'll go back and read a few more verses. But in Isaiah chapter 30, verse 20, "And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." And the title of the message is, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Now, a little bit of the background here. Israel, for the most part, was in a state of apostasy. And I'm sure there were those in Israel that were faithful to God. But in large, they were in apostasy. The Assyrians were coming up against the Israelites. And Israel, at least their leaders, were going after the Egyptians for help. And in reality, the Israelites by themselves were no match for the Assyrians. And so the Israelites were thinking, you know, who's going to help us? And so they were going to the Egyptians for help. Instead of going to God for help, and God continually came back to them and said, you know, I want to help you. I'm here to help you. But you need to call out to me. You need to want to have help. And God was telling and showing the Israelites here the difference between what the Egyptians can do and what he can do. There was really no comparison. But they were rejecting God. And I'd like to read a few of these verses here in Isaiah chapter 30, starting in verse 12, and we'll read through verse 26. Isaiah 30, verse 12. Wherefore, thus saith the Holy One of Israel, because ye despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and stay thereon, therefore this iniquity shall be to you as a breach, ready to fall, swelling out in a high wall, whose breaking cometh suddenly at an instant. And he shall break it as the breaking of the potter's vessel that is broken in pieces. He shall not spare, so that there shall not be found in the bursting of it a shred to take fire from the hearth, or to take water withal out of the pit. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength, and ye would not. But ye said, no, for we will flee upon horses. Therefore shall ye flee, and we shall ride upon the swift. Therefore shall they that pursue you be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the rebuke of one, at the rebuke of five shall ye flee, till ye be left as a beacon upon the top of a mountain, as an ensign on an hill. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore will he be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of judgment. Blessed are they all that wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion, at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee. At the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers, and thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left. I think I'll just continue reading there. As I mentioned, Israel was in a state of apostasy. They were turning away from God. But God was still inviting them to come back to him. He was willing to show them the way that they should go. And especially for you 9 young people here this morning, God has a desire to bring clarity and direction to your lives. He knows and cares about you, about each one of us, and he wants to bring clarity into each one of our lives. He sees the step that you're taking this morning, and he rejoices in that even more than us as parents rejoice in what you are doing. And there's several points that I'd like to take from verse 20 and verse 21 to encourage you, to strengthen you in your walk with Christ. And for all of us, that it could be encouragement for us. Today might be a day more on the mountaintop, a day of rejoicing. But you know, the Christian life is not always on the mountaintop. There are times when we face difficulties. But God has given all the provisions that we need to live faithfully to him, even when we face those valleys. You know, there are people here this morning that have faced some very deep valleys and have been faithful. And we find encouragement in that. The first point I have is taken from verse 21. That even when tough and difficult times come into our lives, it doesn't mean that God is abandoning us. It says, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore, but thine eyes shall see thy teachers. And I'm not sure what all teachers is referring to here. One, I know it's referring to the Lord, that he is there to help us in those difficult times. Could reference the Holy Spirit or others in your life that care about you spiritually, that want to see you succeed spiritually. And there's many here this morning. You're sitting up here in the front, but there's many people that are cheering you on as such. They're here to encourage you here this morning. Friends, relatives. And that's a tremendous blessing that you have, that we all have, of those that we can see and have around us that are here to encourage us in our walk with God. There are teachers. So often when things go well in life, we think we don't need those teachers. And we push them back in a corner. We become self-sufficient, self-centered. And he talks about that here in verse 20. About our teachers being in a corner, pushed to the side. But God brings things into our lives sometimes to help us to see the importance of others in our lives. That I'm not here just for myself, for what I want. But in times of difficulty, in times of uncertainty, in times when we face difficult choices in life, we see our need for our teacher. And it makes us listen to the voice of direction. We see our need for each other. And you will face choices in life, difficult choices, when it's like, I don't know which way I should go. It's like, God help me. And we need to go even to others to help us in those times. The battles we face, the difficulties that we face in life, are meant to draw us closer to our relationship with God as our master teacher. These battles, these difficulties can either make us better or they can make us bitter. That choice is ours. God wants it to make us better. But when we take things in our own hands, it can make us bitter. Charles Spurgeon said, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. And I think that's where that song comes from. And I don't know all the words of the song, but so much it says, God is too good to be unkind, too wise to make mistakes. And just like a tapestry, he's weaving you and me to be more like himself. And that song always speaks to me when I hear it. There are many times in life when we don't understand God's ways. And there'll be times that you face that you don't understand God's ways. His ways, his thoughts are so much higher than ours. But he's working in us, in you. He wants to work in you for you to be more like himself. And if we can just have it settled in our hearts that God has a heart of love and compassion for each one of his children, then we can trust him. The Christian life is a life of trust. Trusting our lives into his eternal hands. Letting go of ourselves, our own ambitions. And giving myself to God for his eternal purposes. So often we think this life is for me. You know, what I want, what feels good for me. But really this life, the Christian life is not about me. It's about God and the work of his kingdom, what he wants for us. So remember that when you face difficulties, when you face hard choices in life, hard things in life that you just, God, why? I don't understand. Trust God's heart. He loves you. He wants what's best for you. He has a heart of love like we can't imagine, that goes so far beyond our ability to love. And he's trying to make you into his own image. Second point that I have is we must keep our ears open and attentive to hear God's voice. Verse 21, and thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. We need to keep our ears open in order to hear God's voice, to be faithful to him, to hear his directing in our lives. You know, we live in a world with a lot of noise. There's so much noise in our world today. It seems there's always some for new book to read, some other news article to read, maybe some other weather prediction for this afternoon or tonight, or some other notification, or the list could go on and on of so many different things that bring noise into our life. There's such an information overload. And I'm not saying these things are all wrong. They can be good. But when this kind of noise keeps us from hearing that still small voice of God, then there's something wrong. We have so many things at our fingertips, and we fail to spend the time with God as we should. Dave already encouraged you to read the Word of God, study the Word of God. Make that a regular part of your daily life. We need that. That is our lifeline to Him. And we need to spend time in quietness, listening for that still small voice. Thought of the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 19. That God's presence isn't always in the spectacular things that happen in life. There was the fire and the earthquake and the wind. But Elijah heard God in that still small voice. And so often we like to see the spectacular things in life. We like the big things, the things that make a big impact. But we need to listen for that still small voice of God, and listen for that in a daily basis. Sometimes as we step back from all the noise in today's world, and I suppose it was throughout all of history, but as we step back and get away from that noise and spend time in quiet meditation, meditating on the Word of God, prayer, seeking God's face, it's in those times that sometimes we can find our answer to the questions that we face in life, to the question of which way should I go in this situation. Prioritize this quiet time with God. And it takes prioritizing in today's world. There's so many things, as I mentioned, that are grabbing for our attention. And we need to prioritize that quiet time with God. And that's for all of us. And I'm not questioning your quiet time with God, but it's an encouragement that we need to continue that. Number three, God wants to bring clarity to our path. And he says, this is the way, walk ye in it. God has a desire for us to know His will, His way. Sometimes we think, you know, if only God would say which way we should go or what we should do in this circumstance in an audible voice, or maybe He could write it in the sky. That way I could see it and would know for sure. God can do that. He really can, but most likely He won't. For the most part, He doesn't speak to us in that way. But He does want to bring clarity into our lives, into our walk. You'll be faced with times when you'll ask God, which way should I go, to the right or to the left? path isn't always clear up ahead and which way we should go. So how do I know which way to go? It's a question that all of us need to think about and wrestle with at times. How do I know which way I should go? I have several points in how we can know what God is, or know how God is leading us and which way He wants us to go. In Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." It's step-by-step guidance that what God wants to give us. It's a walk of faith. You know, if we think about a lamp, generally a lamp doesn't give a lot of light, but it's enough for each step. And God wants to clearly show us what we need for each step. When you're driving a vehicle, you know, you turn your headlights on when you're driving in the dark. You can maybe see 100, 200 feet or whatever it is up ahead of you, but after that it's dark. So what do you say? Well, I can't see what's 2 miles down the road, so I can't go. No, you go, and as you go in faith, that light is there to see the next step ahead of you. And that's how God's word is. It's a lamp unto our feet. God illuminates our path one step at a time. He doesn't show us the end of our life. He doesn't show us what we'll be facing tomorrow or next year or in 10 years from now. We don't know that. But it's a daily, step-by-step walk of faith in God. And He wants to guide us in that way. The Word of God is alive. And he wants to speak to us through His Word. Daily devotional time. You know, you'll read verses today that you'll look at next year maybe and say, you know, I never saw it in that way. And that's God's Word that is alive, that is ministering and speaking to us in different circumstances of life. And those verses become very special to us. And as God speaks to us through His Word, we need to remember that God never contradicts His Word. You know, we have a really good way of arguing with ourselves, I guess. You could say we have a way of saying, you know, well, this is a good path to take because this is really the way I want to go. And we like to argue with ourselves sometimes in that way. But we need to look at the Word of God, and if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, it is not God speaking. And that needs to be a settled fact in each one of our hearts, that God never contradicts His Word. All the decisions that we make, the choices that we make, need to line up with the Word of God. God also speaks to us through His Spirit. He brings scriptures into our minds as we cry out to Him, God, which way should I go? Sometimes he brings those verses to us that illuminate our path, and that's through the Spirit. He gives peace in a decision, or lack of peace in certain decisions. And God's guidance brings peace and joy, not turmoil or weariness. So as we are seeking God for direction in life, cry out to Him, look into His Word, ask Him that His Spirit would direct us, and those decisions that we make will bring peace if it's according to His will. Also seek the counsel of others. Seek directions from parents and those older than you. Those with more experience. Ask them for direction, for counsel. Those that have faced familiar situations. And it's not always wrong to ask counsel from your peers, but be cautious on that. Rehoboam made that mistake of not taking the counsel of older people. There's those that have experience, more experience, that have gone the way before us, that is important that we take counsel from and learn from them. God speaks in those ways to bring, to show us the path that he wants us to take. And also, does it align with the character of God? You know, there's some things, some decisions in life that might not necessarily be right and or wrong in specific things that we need to also put it to the test of, will it help me to align more to the character of God? God wants to mold each one of us into his image and make us more like himself. And is the path that I'm taking, the decision that I'm making, is it making me more Christ-like? Will it increase the brightness of the light in the dark that we're living in? And that's a good question to ask in all decisions of life. Is this increasing the light of the gospel in the dark world that we're living in? And certainly that's not an all-inclusive list, but it's a few points to help us make proper decisions in life that God can use to illuminate our path. In Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." So we can't go just on our own understanding, on our own thinking in choosing this path. But we need to have our ears open and listen for that word behind us, those that have gone before us, the word of God. He's there to direct us. In John 10, verse 27 and 28 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." I was encouraged, and I want to encourage each of you this morning that God does care about the path that you are taking. And he wants to illuminate that path. He wants to show you the way to go. He cares about the way that you go. These verses also give hope to anyone that feels like they've lost their way. And we all make mistakes in life. We all face times when we look back and say, "I've lost my way," or I didn't go the way that I should have. These verses give hope, even in times like that. Israel was in a time of apostasy. They were far away from God, and yet he was calling them back to himself. And God's help is always there. It's always available for each one of you, for each one of us, even in times when we make wrong choices in life. He's calling us back. He wants to show us. He wants to guide us. We don't have to walk alone. We don't have to lean on our own understanding. But in times when we make mistakes, we need to go back and do what he says in verse 15. "For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength." But then he goes on to say, "But ye would not." God forbid that he could say that about us. That he would say, "And ye would. Ye did come back to me." Going back to God, turning our lives around, we can find quietness. We can be saved. And so may these verses be an encouragement to all of us this morning to listen for that voice of God as he wants to show us the way that we should walk in. Remember, though, your Christian life is a walk of faith. You don't know what's happening tomorrow. You don't know what's happening in a year from now. None of us do. But we know who holds the future. And this morning I want to point you to that person. The one that has saved you. The one that loves you more than anyone else. The one that cares about your path. The one that wants to see you molded and shaped more into His image. Encourage you to listen to that small voice, that quiet voice sometimes behind you, as God endeavors to show you the path for you to take. As He tells you, this is the way, walk ye in it. Closing verse from Psalm 73, verse 24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. And may we all be faithful until God receives us into glory. We don't know when that is, but He has promised that He would help us. He would show us the path to glory and give us the strength, the ability to be faithful till then. Let's all stand for a prayer. Father, we are grateful this morning for Your word. We thank You for encouragement that we can receive from it. And we thank You for these verses in Isaiah that give us courage, even in times when we question which way should we go. We thank You for the clarity of Your voice. We thank You that You care about the path that we take and that You want to show us and help us to be listening to that voice, to Your voice, that is showing us which way to take. Lord, I pray a special blessing upon these 9 young people here before us. Pray that You might bless them in a special way as they make a public confession of what You have done in their lives, of cleansing, and their desire to live faithfully for You. And dear God, I pray that You might clearly show them the path that You would want them to take. Help them to be faithful. Help them to lean upon You for decisions, for direction in life. May You guide them and help them to be faithful. And I pray that for all of us, that we could be faithful to You until You call us home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.